Hour number two of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Happy to have you with us, Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas, and we're here with you up until 6:37 tonight. The Indians off last night. They return to action this evening, and we'll have Indians warm-up for you with Jim Rosenhaus at 6:37. He and Tom Hamilton will preview tonight's matchup between the Tribe and the Twins, and then the first pitch will come your way right around 7:10 for the beginning of the final homestand of the regular season. The Tribe, of course, will begin play in the postseason a week from this coming Thursday. Can't wait, man. That's going to be so awesome. And we don't know when they're playing, and we're still not quite sure who they're going to play on said Thursday. But we do know we'll have it covered for you here on AM 930 WEOL. We've always got you covered when we're talking about the television screen, or maybe we're talking about the big screen. And we're going to bring in our Hollywood guru, Al Harris, right now to give us the latest on that. Al, what's happening?
Oh, nothing too much. How about them Browns, though, huh? Showed up Sunday, huh?
Yeah.
How about them?
Let's sidestep that topic, and we'll just move on to something perhaps a bit more positive. I know you weren't a huge fan of Big Bang Theory. I know you're aware of how successful it is in the television industry. It's hard to ignore Big Bang Theory when it comes to some of the more successful sitcoms of all time. And having said all of that, you know, they've got this spinoff now called Young Sheldon. I've heard some mixed reviews, and I'm beginning to wonder, you know, if we're going to see more of this pop up. Is there enough interest in a show like this, do you think, to last for a few seasons, or do you think this thing will be lucky to last one?
I think the last few seasons. Already the ratings are pretty decent. The reviews are middling, but so were Big Bang Theories. That never matters, especially to a CBS show. Usually the critics aren't very high on their shows, but they do very well in the ratings. I mean, Two Broke Girls got a few seasons, I think, and that was one of the more egregious, offensive shows I've ever seen. So I have a feeling that Young Sheldon will do all right. It's not made for me. I'm not going to watch it, but I do like the kid that they cast in the role. He was in Big Little Lies. I'd also worked with him on a film. A very, very nice young gentleman that I think has a very strong career ahead of him. And this will definitely help his career. And I think it'll do fine. But then again, it's nothing I'm, as you can tell by the tone of my voice, anything I'm too excited about.
No, and I can tell. I know that's not necessarily your cup of tea. You've made it known in the past that you're not really a huge fan of Big Bang Theory, but I kind of want to spin off that a little bit because Pretty Little Liars is apparently getting its own spinoff, considering all the success that it's had. I guess we can't be totally surprised. Do you think that this spinoff has a shot at being successful, especially because Pretty Little Liars, over the course of the last couple of years here, has really kind of carved out quite the niche?
Yeah, again, I'm going to keep the monotonous tone because, again, something that not excited about whatsoever, but it's kind of showing, you know, the dearth of creativity in the industry. I'm sure it'll do great. The original was fun from what I've heard. I know people that really liked it. It was kind of trashy but kind of fun, kind of like that CW-type show. And so I'm sure it'll do great. It'll do well. Make people money, but again, as far as creativity or anything like exciting, you know, it is what it is, like a lot of the stuff coming out now. But that being said, I did want to hit off one other thing besides Young Sheldon. The other show that did pretty well ratings-wise, new show, is a show called The Good Doctor with Freddie Highmore, which seems like it might hit a lot of those same good emotional beats that This Is Us did and that show that viewers like those kind of shows. Again, the critics and the reviews I read were somewhat middling for that type of procedural show, but it did well in the ratings and actually looks somewhat interesting, I guess.
A lot of new shows coming out, obviously. It's that time of year. Are there any you're excited to see? I mean, we've mentioned the spinoffs here coming up, but are there some that you're stoked about?
I guess the one I was the most stoked about, Star Trek Discovery, comes out on CBS, so it's kind of hard to watch. For me, as I've told you guys before, my most anticipated show of the year was The Deuce, which was a new show, came out a couple weeks ago, and has lived up, in my mind, to expectations. I think that might be right now the best show airing on television. But no, there's not really a lot that gets me excited. I was going to say this to Pixar quick, but as I was looking on the shows coming out this week, a lot of the new ones just aren't ringing a bell. It's the ones that are coming back that are really exciting me. And we can touch that a little later on. But yeah, it's the recurring shows. There's nothing really new besides, like I said, Star Trek Discovery that I'm finding very interesting. And we'll see what happens as, you know, the weeks come out, the premieres come out. But yeah, right now, as far as network television goes, there's not much really there.
We're talking with Al Harris, our Hollywood insider here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, let's transfer, or I should say, let's go from the networks to Netflix, because Netflix has a new comedy coming up called Last Laugh, and it's got some pretty heavy hitters in there. It's got some pretty big names like Chevy Chase, Lewis Black, Richard Dreyfuss, Andy McDowell, just to name a few. I didn't know Chevy Chase was still out there and somewhat active. What have you heard about this Netflix comedy Last Laugh?
Well, I don't want to be really I feel like I'm very negative today, and I feel like I'm going to continue that streak. I don't know. It seems like I like Richard Dreyfuss. Chevy Chase was in Community. That was the last big thing he did, which ended a couple years ago, and he ended on really bad terms with the showrunner and the network, which isn't surprising because he's had, you know, 40-year history of doing that. And even then, in the role, he was kind of a caricature. So I'm not a big Chevy Chase guy. I think he's toxic and doesn't bring enough to the table to keep casting him at this point in his career because of how toxic he is. But I am excited for Richard Dreyfuss. Lewis Black's involved, Andy McDowell. So it could be interesting. It's about like a talent manager who I'm guessing is Richard Dreyfuss, who's been out of the game for a while. His wife passed away. And so he decides to, I think, go on tour with a former client of his who's a comedian, and who I'm guessing is played by Chevy Chase, to get him back out there and see what happens. So the premise itself is somewhat interesting, but it seems very much like that Netflix thing where they like try and skew to an older crowd, like they did with Grace and Frankie, which was just okay, and some of their other material, like this Disjointed that just came out with Kathy Bates. So it seems like it's just, it's interesting. I think it'll get people out there because of the names involved, but you'd have to prove me on the talent-wise on how good it's going to be. And like I said, I don't think Chevy Chase is worth casting right now, but I am excited for the other people involved.
Well, yeah, and that's a lot of heavy hitters. I mean, when you're talking about comedy, it certainly will grab you with the names that are involved, if nothing else. And speaking of something that could grab you with the names involved, if nothing else, got to ask you about that Kingsman sequel. I mean, it did pretty well worldwide. As a matter of fact, it did very well worldwide, pulling in over $100 million. Just barely touched $39 million in the States, which I think was a little bit under what they were expecting nationwide. Still pretty impressive, but if you take a look at the box office as a whole, I mean, The Kingsman, again, it did slightly less than what they thought it would do in the States, but it did pretty well worldwide. Any big surprises for you this week as far as the box office goes?
Yeah, I'm very surprised Kingsman didn't at least hit $50,000. Even more, it just seems like we've talked about this ad nauseum about how bad the box office has been this year. And this weekend was another showing of that. Not just Kingsman not even hitting 50, but of the new Lego movie. Both Lego Batman and the Lego movie did great in the box office. Ninjago came out this week and did awful. I think finished third to Kingsman and It, who's already been in theaters for a while. And It keeps showing up like the one savior in this whole box office, which is crazy to me, as it's just, I think it's the highest grossing horror film of all time, which is mind-boggling. But good for that. At least it's showing some people are going to the theater. I think it's not a matter of people going to the theater or not. It's a matter of, like, it's not people saying, I don't want to go to the theater anymore. They're just not interested in what's out there. And they've showed that, like, It. People came out in record numbers for that. And if there's better material out, people will still go. And this is the most excited you'll hear my voice this week, is because in 2 weeks, I don't think next week's going to do too well in the box office either. It's that American-made movie with Tom Cruise, which looks just blah. But then Blade Runner comes out in 2 weeks, and I have a feeling that'll do huge, huge numbers. Plus, I'm excited for it. It's got a great cast, great director, and it's freaking Blade Runner, so I'm excited for that. And so hopefully I think you'll see another stagnant week next week, and then it'll pick up in 2 weeks.
Blade Runner certainly got a lot of play. You talked about the success that it has had. And as far as it goes, are these rumors true? In 2019, do they already have plans for a sequel? I mean, I guess when you're that successful and you've made that much money, I guess you kind of have to go for a sequel, whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. If it's a sequel, it's probably guaranteed to make you money, right?
Yes. Well, and here's the difference between most sequels and why this is somewhat exciting for people that like the project is the book is basically written into two parts. So you already have the source material. It's not like, oh, this movie did well. Let's just write out a quick sequel. You know, the material's already there. The material's already good. The original It they made was a two-part miniseries. I think what they were doing was instead of already announcing that, hey, we're going to do two movies, they were a little trepid, wanted to see how the first one did. But I think it had already been in the works, and they were just waiting for the first projections to come out. And once it came out that it was like gangbusters, they're like, yeah, let's move in quick on it. I think everything was already lined up for it. It was just a matter of would it be worth to make a new one? And obviously, with the numbers coming out, more than worth it. So I think it's, for people that love that, I think it's exciting. I think it's going to be, I don't think the quality of the product is going to go down at all because they already have the source material. It's good material. It's part of the original book. I think it'll do great, and I think it's a no-brainer.
Well, and speaking of the sequels here, too, I mean, I think they did the same kind of thing with Wonder Woman, did they not? They saw all the success that it had right off the bat, and almost immediately after that first weekend, they said, you know what, this was so successful, we have to start planning for a sequel. And that was right after the opening weekend. This is kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, well, the difference between those, I think it's the same thing. Wonder Woman, they wanted to see, because most superhero movies, you have one ready, you're pretty sure you can do more than one. It just depends how the first one does. Like Ant-Man, they've been a little waiting on the second one, or like Green Lantern was awful, so they never made a second one. But usually, as long as it does well, you have one ready to go. The difference between both of those is, like we said, I don't think necessarily Wonder Woman had a script ready to go, while it obviously already had the source material. They know what it's going to be. Now, if they do a third one, I think that's a huge mistake. I think you do the two, you finish the book off, and that's it. Wonder Woman, I don't know. They have a dearth of comic material. They'll pick something out. But that's the difference between the two of them is that it was already rearing to go. They had it. They were just waiting to see the numbers. Well, Wonder Woman, they're like, yeah, we'll make one. We'll just figure it all out afterwards.
Hey, I was just going to say, the sequel you bring up, the source material's there, but it worries me, I guess, a little because the miniseries. Everybody loved the first 2 hours of the miniseries, which, of course, features the kids, tells basically the story of the movie that just came out. And then the second one with the adults, which would be the way I'd imagine that this movie is going to go. It seemed to lose a little bit of steam there, and then it had that ending that I think many people thought was kind of anticlimactic, where the spider comes out and they just beat it up, basically. I guess not. I guess people are still pretty excited for what this could be, and especially behind. And from my understanding, the new movie didn't go exactly how the book followed suit. It kind of had its own ideas, and they're hoping it has that same thing, sort of.
Yeah, and I think they'll take a lot of that, you know, what people said. The miniseries is also kind of cheesy in general, so I think they'll figure out a way to really bring it on to this generation and make it a little, you know, scary and a lot less cheesy with the giant spider. But so I have faith in it, especially I think the major thing is the cast, is who they're going to cast. Because, the first one was just the kids.
Yeah.
And from what I heard, they casted pretty well. But now you're going to cast these same kids as adults. So not only, I would think, I don't know if they want to go big names. They already have, you know, the track record. So they don't need to necessarily bring in someone big. But, you know, a studio sees that, they're like, let's bring in some big names. And that could actually ruin something like this. Plus, you have to get guys that somewhat look like the children. Yeah. So I think the casting of this movie is honestly the most fascinating thing to me. And if they keep the same guy playing Pennywise, if they get someone a little older, I'm very curious to see how they do the casting on that more than I am of anything else.
Sure. This is such a unique, I think, thing because it's hard to keep pace with the book because of the way it does that. It starts them off as kids. It seems like in the movie world, you get attracted to those kids, and then you have a new actor playing that part. You sort of lose that relationship on a kid.
Exactly. And that's why I think a miniseries is the wrong way to go. By doing a movie, by separating it by 2 years, but also by rushing it so people aren't, like, over it by the time it comes out. I think they've played it very smartly
And we'll see how it goes.
Well, no more clowning around with Hey-o. Pennywise and it. It's time for us to get serious with your picks to click. Now, you alluded to this earlier. As far as television goes, you mentioned that nothing that's necessarily new excites you. But you did say that there are some returning series that do have you excited. What are some of those in this week's picks to click?
Well, Good Place premiered last week, but it comes out again this another episode this week. Gives people time to watch the first season. It's on Netflix now. It's one of the smartest comedies I've seen in a while. Same creators, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. They're not Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Parks and Rec. And it's very good, very funny, and it's got a great twist ending at the end. Speaking of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they come back again this week. Last Man on Earth comes back. This Is Us, which I enjoy a third of it, but I enjoy a third of it very much. But the biggest, my pay-per-click, and the biggest show returning this week, it's a no-brainer for me, is this Sunday. It's been years in the waiting as Curb Your Enthusiasm comes back. And
oh, nice.
I can't tell you how excited I am to finally to see this show again. I didn't think we'd ever get another season. So one more season of Larry David is always good, and I think it'll be great. He's had a lot of time to, you know, figure out what he wants to say, and every time he does, it's worth watching. So we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and I, like I said, I'm still as excited as I was to see it premiering this Sunday.
Well, towards the beginning of the interview, you mentioned that you were a little bit negative. Dare I say we've curbed your enthusiasm towards the end of it here. So always enjoy it, my friend. A lot of fun as always, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, perfect. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one.